going to turn the podium over to my colleague from MIMP, Doug Riesheim, who was here just a moment ago. We have a stage.
And I will in turn turn the microphone over to Pete Hornsby, who is a digital archivist and software engineer at Emory University.
Well, it's not often I get out of the trenches, so it's nice to see you all. I want to discuss how we have used forensics in the Salmon Rescue Papers. Before actually getting into a little bit more detail, I think it's important to remember the bigger picture. And as such, I would like us to actually look at the content models that we use, are using with the Emory Salmon Rescue Papers. Start over at this stage, the original data, in this case perform at 5400, a 5300C laptop and a couple of G3 Lombard models. We have what we phrase as the triage over here, which is where we actually start making our copies and then depositing them in our archives. Thank you. Which actually represents the institutional repository. From there we go to the grey archives. This is where the library staff actually work and do the things they do with the collection, which then cycles through to the white collection. The white archive, which is what the public and researchers actually interact with. It's quite a bit of interchange there. Obviously, I hope you all recognise that the area we're actually interested in is here. Okay, triage. First of all, I feel the need or would like to explain what triage is in terms of Emory universities. In conversations that have happened, and people have mentioned it in the presentation, there are a lot of concerns before the collection arrives to you. You know you're getting this big donor's collection, you're not quite sure what you're getting.
Can everyone hear me?
Sorry. So when you do actually get this stuff for the first time, this is when you can start implementing the care and considerations which you thought about, which I call emergency. So. But you are the first responder at this point. Yeah, the data's come in house. You can start looking at it. Sorry, backed up there. One thing I missed. One thing I did want to point out about triage, which I will explain in detail in a moment, is it's critical. Get things wrong here, they're going to filter through your whole content model. You know, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing here. This photo is supposed to represent the initial processing by every staff. Forgive me, any chance I get to use bad stock photography, I take. What I'm trying to stress here is the importance of this stage. This person here can work for months and you can find a mistake that you did in triage which blows that all the way. So I'd like to go into a bit more detail of what we actually consider triage. First of all, hardware assessment. What exactly did you get? What was the condition of it? A lot of research was done here in terms of just reading model reviews, in this instance for the Performer 5400, which we were fortunate, was a good model by Apple. However, one of the later laptops, the 5300C, is one of Apple's worst laptop designs ever. Actually coined the phrase MacBook droppings, because part of your computer would drop off with constant use of the hinges. These are things that you actually need to be aware of in terms of dealing with the architect, but they can also affect the centre that you're going to retrieve. So very close to that is software evaluation, okay? So you have a computer from the 90s. Chances are it's only going to run an OS from the 90s. In our case, it's 7.5 Mac OS to 9 is the range that you can actually get to work with this hardware. When you start looking also at in terms of applications, okay, so what applications are running? Well, we know that this is a Rushdie's collection, as it were, so we obviously know we're interested in an author. I'm sure all of you remember or have heard of MacWrite Pro, IrisWorks. No? Okay, they weren't that bad. You're beginning to build a mental picture. You know, this is all going into building up your knowledge of what you have just collected. Then we move on to storage device analysis. Excuse me. What was interesting with the Performa 5400, it was the first time that Apple started using IDE drives, which actually made life very easy for us. Before that, we would have been interacting with the SCSI interface. I don't know how many of you know that, but there are a ridiculous number of standards in there. So now we've got a picture, we know what the hardware is, got an idea of what software is going to be on there, have a real good understanding of the devices involved, and we move to the data acquisition stage. I'd like to say eBay was my friend here, enabled me to get hold of a Performa 5400 and actually try some methods. You know? One thing I would like to point out is we're not in any hurry, you know? Take the time it takes to actually analyze this and go through it. You know, the data's not going anywhere. So, moving on. What methods from the forensics world did we apply to the Rushdie papers? Disk imaging. We used Mac OS disk utility, which is built in. Reason being for this, all the computers are Macs, and there is some overlap between the earlier version of that program, which was called Disk Copy, from Mac OS 8 and down. Hashes, you all know as checksums, you know, very useful. Identify your files, know what you've got. Metadata extraction I did through the use of the developer suite from Apple, Xcode. There's a Unix utility called, surprisingly enough, getFileInfo, but that spits all the metadata out. As you can see, that also, I like to just tie that back. You know, if you know what you're looking at, you can start scoping out the tools that you actually want to use. So, flying on. One thing, reading your report, which came to my mind, was you talked about multiple files in the same location. And the way that we dealt with this at the presentation layer, which is the white archive, if you remember. So all these files are the same. Yep, all got the same set of metadata. The only real difference is the location. So what did we do? Added another metadata field and combined it all into one. So that file now has the history of all its locations through the file system. I just wanted to mention that. It definitely helped with organizing our repository. And I think that's about it. Oh, sorry, future games. It's what we're talking about here, use of forensics and the processes involved in acquiring data, are not a software engineer as tasks. You know? You might write some programs or help you with software, but essentially, I think it should be part of the archival process that archivists do this. And so hopefully, you know, through the use of forensic software research and the right training, archivists will really take over the whole role, as it were. The other thing, safe data capture and image creation, I think is self-explanatory. And then cost, you know, it'd be nice if we could do this quickly and cost efficiently. And that's one of the hopes that we at Emory hope to gain from using forensic methods. Thank you for your patience, everyone.